This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
According to what Washington's foreign policy community expected from the Bush administration's attack in Iraq, much of the trouble the U.S. mission now faces was accurately and publicly predicted by think tanks, both left and right, and even by the State Department itself. As for predicting how much the war would cost or how many troops might be needed, a Council on Foreign Relations Task Force report cited a range of 75,000 to 200,000 U.S. soldiers. There are 130,000 there now. Former State Department official James Dobbins stressed in a footnote that this is not a commitment America alone can long sustain. Desperate to stretch its limited ranks, the U.S. Army is expected next week to prohibit still more soldiers now in Iraq and soon to be deployed there from leaving military service. Army officials declined to say which or how many soldiers would be affected when it expands its Stop Loss program, which already prevents soldiers in certain heavily used specialties from leaving the military or being reassigned to another unit. But the last such edict, issued November 13th, covered all of the more than 110,000 active duty soldiers whose units are scheduled to deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan between now and May. Because the order takes effect 90 days before the troops' 12-month deployments and lasts for 90 days after a return home, those troops couldn't retire or leave the Army before the spring of 2005 at the earliest, even if their enlistments expire before then. Pakistan scientists have sold plans to make a nuclear bomb to Libya for millions of pounds. Saif al-Islam, son of Libyan leader Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, has confirmed. Saif stated that Libya had bought nuclear components from a variety of black market dealers and dealt with an underground network of middlemen and secret workshops. Some Arab sources said some of the components for the Libyan nuclear program were bought in Dubai and shipped to Libya. Western experts were taken aback when they found that nuclear scientists working for the Libyan leader had a full bomb dossier from Pakistan and said the Pakistani scientists may have received as much as $100 million over several years starting from the 1990s. More after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Residents who openly bought and sold hashish at a famous hippie enclave in Copenhagen abruptly demolished their booths on Sunday when dealers and residents tore down two dozen colorful booths that have stood along the sparsely paved but well-traveled Pusher Street for years. Police in recent months have increased the number of raids to stop the drug deals, and residents have been split over eliminating the sales completely.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Dick Cheney's old company, Halliburton, keeps getting stuck in his own Iraqi sand pit. And Cheney and his sidekick, George W., are stuck there, too. Halliburton, which continues to pay about $150,000 a year to its old CEO, Cheney, was first in line to get multi-billion-dollar no-bid contracts from the Bush-Cheney regime for occupying and rebuilding Iraq. But don't think that any political favoritism was involved. No, no, Bush officials say. It's just that Dick's old company was the only one in the whole wide world qualified to do the job. Imagine, the only one. And what a job it has done. Take its contract for providing gasoline to Iraqis. An audit shows that the Houston-based giant has already gouged us taxpayers by as much as $61 million on this no-bidder. It's been charging the Pentagon $2.64 a gallon to haul gasoline from nearby Kuwait. Well, yes, say the Bushites, that's expensive, but hey, it's costly to deliver gas in a combat zone. Before you swallow that, though, note that the Pentagon's own Energy Support Center delivers gasoline from Kuwait to Iraqi pumps in exactly the same war conditions for under $1.20 a gallon, less than half of Halliburton's charge. And Iraqi's own state oil company does the same job for under $1 a gallon. Caught in Halliburton's web of deceit, George W. is now trying to get on the high road, declaring that if there's an overcharge, we expect that money to be repaid. Repaid? What about charging his and Cheney's no-bid cronies with fraud? But here comes the real stinker. Halliburton's contract from the Bushites actually gives the company an incentive to overcharge us taxpayers. It guarantees a profit to Halliburton of between 2 and 7% of its costs, meaning that the more cost it can put into each gallon, the more profit Halliburton gets. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's a built-in gouge.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing low, life's life.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number, if you'd like to join in the fun and frivolity, 800-TALK-YES. That's 800-825-5937. And if you'd like to email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Happy Monday. God, we're back on a regular schedule, right? Everybody all undisoriented? You feel safer now that we're fingerprinting and photographing select tourists? God, I feel so safe. Howard Dean was absolutely wrong. Ever since they snatched Saddam from the Kurds, bought him from the Kurds, I've felt so much safer. I don't know why Howard Dean would say that. I really don't. And how about that MoveOn.org ad contest that has some Republicans just dribbling all over themselves with the terribleness of some of the entries, which were just astonishingly good, all of them. We'll be covering those topics and more this evening, so do tune in or call in or don't, you know, whatever you want to do, right? We're going to start a countdown. We haven't figured out yet how many days until February 27th? But remember, February 27th, this program ceases to exist. Not because, we got a couple of emails, not because anyone's firing us. Oh, God, no. Regardless of what certain aspects of media say, we have the most popular liberal talk show host in America. No, it's not that. It's that the company that owns this radio network has decided they'd rather own something else. And they're getting out of the business. That would be the company. That would be the United Auto Workers Union. So we're going to start, I don't know, we've got less than 2 months. So you'll want to not miss a single program, right? I got way off on a tangent there. Paul Harvey. Ed sent this to me from Byron, Illinois. Paul Harvey, on his radio program last week, has been urging his followers to salute military style instead of shaking hands when they greet, when people greet people. He says this will lessen the spread of the flu epidemic that has crippled our nation. Salute. Paul Harvey. You always knew that about Paul Harvey. I know some things about Paul Harvey you may not know. His special relationship with horses. I don't think you want to know. But Paul Harvey is suggesting that people salute military style instead of shaking it. You see how they do this, right? So, our listener in Byron, Illinois, Ed, said, I sent him an email saying that I think a snappy military salute would be great, but that we should also say, praise Bush, at the same time. And as Ed writes, this would acknowledge the greatness of the leader who is our only hope of a secure, homeland. And, Ed continues, anyone not responding with a crisp salute and a praise Bush should be regarded with suspicion. And that person's name submitted to Attorney General Ashcroft for investigation. By the way, Ed writes, on his Friday broadcast, Paul Harvey announced that his idea of saluting instead of shaking hands is working because the terrible flu epidemic seems to be subsiding. Salute. Instead, Sieg Busch. Oh, my God. That segues right into the MoveOn.org story. They ran a Bush in 30 Seconds, I believe was the title of it, a contest that they started back when, Kathy? In November, October, sometime in the fall, for creative folks. And they are legion. All of a sudden, given the available technology and the genius and the creative minds out there of people on the left, the progressive left, wow, some of the submissions were incredible. Not that we saw what MoveOn.org saw. No. But we've gotten several emails today from people who have sent some of these videos, and we've been getting the videos. But the one that jerked Republicans around by their belly buttons and really caused them to get all pissed off was one that compared, I only saw it on Wolf Blitzer's program on CNN earlier today. I kind of saw it because Blitzer kept talking and they had the ad running in the background and they had, what's his name, this old fart breath from the Republican National Committee whining and bitching and moaning about, it's just terrible to compare Bush to Hitler. Well, I didn't see that. What I saw was, and granted I did not see the 30-second political ad in its entirety or with any sort of clarity, thanks to Wolf Blitzer. But what I did see, what I did hear, what I think I saw, what I think I heard, was the ad makers comparing the mood in Nazi Germany in the 30s to the mood of the United States in the year 2004 during the reign of George W. Bush. And the parts of the commercial, the political ad that I thought I heard, that was part of the MoveOn.org contest, drew alarmingly adroit comparisons between Germany in the 30s and the United States under Bush. And I thought that it was extremely well done. Now, somebody apparently sent one of these comparing America and Germany political ads to some Republican freaks or something. I'm not sure how this part of it worked. But the Republicans, of course, as they always do, they hate MoveOn.org because MoveOn is one of those websites like Democrats.com, like Democratic Underground, like Bart Cop, like who else? So like Buzzflash, like Common Dreams, that are shredding, one of those websites that is shredding mainstream media. All these sites I just mentioned that use truth as a blunt instrument, God bless them. Well, the Republicans, of course, would like to see MoveOn disappear. MoveOn was put together back during the attack on Bill Clinton. So the Republicans immediately start frothing and foaming at the mouth and I don't know, doing what Republicans do when they get this way. Screaming, even though MoveOn had nothing to do with it. MoveOn provided the contest. But you see, that's a subtlety too subtle for Republicans, apparently, to figure out. It was an independent artist somewhere who created the political ad. But the attack, the assault is on MoveOn, obviously. All right. Why do the Republicans have their bloomers in a wad? Well, because the comparison between Nazi fascism and Bush fascism was so well put together, apparently, in this 30-second political ad. So is there any truth to the comparisons? Well, there are 14 defining characteristics, according to a college professor, Dr. Lawrence Britt, who has examined fascist regimes in Hitler, Italy, Spain, Indonesia, and several Latin American regimes. There are 14 defining characteristics common to each. So you tell me. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Flags are seen everywhere. Flag symbols on clothing. Public displays. Disdain for the recognition of human rights. People tend to look the other way or even approve of torture, summary executions, assassinations, long incarcerations of prisoners with no charges. Identifying enemies or scapegoats as a unifying cause. Like people are rallied into a unifying patriotic frenzy over the need to eliminate a perceived common threat or foe, like, Muslims? Supremacy of the military. Even when there are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding, and the domestic agenda is neglected. Now, we're up to number four. These are defining characteristics of fascism, so you tell me. Rampant sexism. Controlled mass media. Obsession with national security. Religion and government are intertwined. Religious rhetoric and terminology is common from government leaders, even when the major tenets of the religion are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions. Gee, that calls to mind Bush and Christianity. Number nine, corporate power is protected. Can you say Halliburton? Number 10, labor power is suppressed. Number 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Free expression in the arts and letters is openly attacked. Dixie Chicks. Number 12, obsession with crime and punishment. Under fascist regimes, the police are given almost limitless power to enforce the laws. Number 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. Gosh, Enron, huh? And number 14, fraudulent elections. Sometimes elections in fascist nations are a complete sham. Fascist nations also typically use their judiciaries to manipulate or control elections. Well, my goodness, of the 14 defining characteristics of fascism, put together by, and he should know, a college professor, I would think that Bush's America falls neatly into all 14 categories. Do you disagree, truth seeker? So I guess, even though MoveOn.org did not produce, nor did they distribute, nor did they air the commercial, the political ad in question, perhaps MoveOn.org was onto something by providing the contest, shall we call it, within which this commercial, political ad comparing Bush to Hitler, was appropriate. 14, all 14, all 14 of the defining characteristics common to fascism now exist in this country. Gee, we're not surprised by that, are we? No. We're not. A convicted bank robber who told a prison psychologist he wanted to spice up his life by shooting a famous person has admitted threatening to kill U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, according to officials in New Jersey. Now, our senior correspondent sent this to me, and would you not think that if somebody had threatened to kill, pick a name out of the hat, Tom DeLay, it would be all over the news, wouldn't it? Insane man threatens to kill Tom DeLay! But this was Hillary Clinton, so I guess it doesn't warrant even that little scroll on the bottom of CNN, right?
Look out, here comes the master race. I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Mullet Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, Drew Ziggers.
The Mike Mullet Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth. Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Mullet.
24 past the hour. 800. Talk Yes is a number if you want to join in here. So anyway, this convicted a bank robber said he wanted to kill Senator Clinton. He pled guilty last week to a charge of threatening to kill an immediate family member of a former president. That's a federal crime that carries a penalty up to 5 years in prison, $250,000 fine, blah, 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 blah. According to the Secret Service, this man wrote an April 2003 letter to a prison psychologist in which he said he wanted to shoot a very famous person. He said, "My life is dull and boring. I need to spice it up." That sounds like George Bush where it concerned Iraq, doesn't it? He included a hit list naming Clinton as well as former President Clinton and federal judges and a few other people. At one point, he said to the psychologist, "This is all starting to get exciting. I feel like a movie star. Damn, this is like Bush again. This is unbelievable." The arrest of this guy was not publicized, and court papers identify Clinton only as HRC. But again, imagine if this were Tom DeLay or some Republican. Chris Matthews on MSNBC had the courage to bring up a poll conducted by CNN and Time that shows Howard Dean 5 percentage points behind George W. Bush. That's the latest CNN a Time magazine poll, with a margin of error of plus or minus 4%, which means that Dean is practically tied with Bush. Huh? Huh? Now, Democrats.com dashed off a letter to CNN, and the letter says, "On behalf of the quarter million readers of Democrats.com News, I'm writing to find out why CNN refuses to report the results of your own latest CNN Time poll, which shows Bush's lead over Howard Dean dropping to only 5%, down from 12% in November." Suppose the question was, suppose the 2004 election for president were being held today, and you had to choose between Dean, the Democrat, Bush, the Republican, for whom would you vote? Bush got 51%, Dean got 46%. It was the poll was conducted by Harris Interactive on December 30th through January 1st, and they went with likely voters. Now, that raises an interesting issue, doesn't it, truth seekers? Likely voters. According to Kelly Kramer, CNN has suddenly changed the way they report their polling numbers. CNN asked likely voters instead of including all registered voters. Now, as Kelly Kramer writes, normally a poll that only includes likely voters will change the numbers to favor the Republican candidate by 4 to 6%. Plus, the general election is nowhere near starting, and when people start paying attention, they are more likely to vote in a presidential election than an off-year election. So that means it's not possible, but very likely, the full CNN poll had Dean ahead of Bush. I should have said that means it is possible. Don't kid yourself for a second, truth seekers, and I know the tribe that listens to this program, you do not kid yourselves. Corporate media in this country, especially the cable networks, will do anything in their power to see that George W. Bush is reelected or elected. You know what I'm saying. Don't make me go through that contortion about the fact that he wasn't elected to begin with. So let's just agree on that. The cable news networks and probably the over-the-air networks, too, most of the editorial boards of most of the major newspapers in this country will contort themselves to see that George W. Bush is reelected. And the fact that Howard Dean is closing in on this unconscionable thug in the White House means, uh-oh, among other things, that's changed the way we ask the polling questions.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A group of endangered whales seems to be doing better, but some of its cousins are still in tough shape. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Whale watchers in South Africa have more to look at these days. They're seeing more southern right whales that are feeding offshore with their calves. These marine mammals were once on the verge of extinction, but their numbers seem to be on the increase. Unfortunately, the situation for their relatives, the northern right whale, is not good at all. Michael Moore is a marine biologist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts, and he studied the right whale in both the North and South Atlantic. He says bans on whaling were critical for the survival of the southern right whale. In the 1920s, their numbers off the coast of South Africa were down to about 300. An international treaty in the 1930s protected them from hunting. The population started to grow slowly, and today it's up to more than 840. In just the past year, the population of southern right whales around South Africa went up by more than 150. Moore says that's a substantial increase. He says it can be expected when whales have food, the opportunity to reproduce, and water that's relatively free from pollution and human activity.
What you're seeing in the southern ocean around the globe with these various populations of southern right whales is nature doing its thing.
Nature does not have as much opportunity to do its thing in the North Atlantic near New England. In those waters, the population of northern right whales stands at only 300, and it has not been going up. The slow-moving right whale is particularly vulnerable to collisions with ships. It also suffers from entanglement with fishing gear. Moore says those problems make it hard to see a future where northern right whales experience the apparent good fortune of their relatives off the coast of South Africa. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
There he is, too stupid to be president. All right, where are we? We're at 800-TALK-YES. And we were talking about the Bush-Dean poll, which, depending on who you want to believe, is probably in a dead heat. And CNN, of course, doesn't report it that way. None of the news organizations will go out of their way to report the truth about the run-up to this election. But I have to give Chris Matthews credit on Hardball on MSNBC tonight. He brought it up. That's not very much credit. I think Chris Matthews is a jackass. But I do appreciate the fact that he mentioned, of course, he got lost. It was, I think, the last thing they talked about, he and his panel that include the inestimably creepy Laura Ingraham. But they did discuss it a bit. Thank God she didn't get any a chance to say anything. But there it was, the fact that George W. Bush and Howard Dean, depending on whether or not you want to believe CNN Times figures, are within 1 or 2 percentage points of the margin of error of this most recent poll, which put the two of them together head-to-head. Who would you vote for if the election were being held today? Interesting. Is it not? Eric is calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Eric.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm okay. A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thanks a lot. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, we really appreciate your show, and we could not let you go off the air without calling and let you know, even in North Carolina, we listen to you.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going to happen to this program. There are a couple of liberal organizations out there who, to this point, have shown no indication at all of any interest in the program, so we'll see what happens. Maybe they're just waiting until this network is totally dead with a stake in its heart before they approach me, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. And I wanted to say that, you know, I was one of your shows right before you went on vacation.
Yeah.
You were talking about how white people and black people were surprised or whatever, or how white people were surprised, or if you wanted to know what it was like to be under pressure from the government, get a black friend.
Yeah, I said that way back when right after the terrorist attacks, because as grim and horrible and terrifying as it was, it threw this country into an absolute tailspin. And then with the lockdown on civil liberties, with the passage, the ramming through of the Patriot Act, and all of a sudden, the Bush administration turning this into what white folks, myself included, perceived to be the beginnings of a police state. And of course, everybody knows, if you're paying attention, black folk have been dealing with this for 450 years. So my suggestion was to white people, If you're nervous, if you're scared, if all of a sudden you're concerned about being stopped and having your car searched or breaking into your house or accusing you of something and you don't know how to react and your therapist can't help you, all you have to do is get a black friend because they have been dealing with this for 3.5 centuries. They'll tell you how to handle it.
I completely understand. I mean, I'm a black male in America, so it was really funny to me to actually hear someone say that. And it's surprising to me. I wonder, why does it surprise white people? I mean, to think that people kill for money, that people kill for domination, for control. They've been doing it for thousands of years.
Yeah, I can't answer that. It's a question I wish I had an answer to. If I had an answer to that, I could I would become instantly famous in this country of having solved the race problem. I don't know. There are so many things that the majority of people in this country, and that majority happens to be still white, doesn't connect to. The majority doesn't stop and think for a second and figure it out because they've never been forced to. All of a sudden, under the Bush crime family, the Bush administration, all of a sudden, white folk have been forced to think about things that we have not had to think about before, whereas so-called minority peoples have always in this country had to think about it. You can go back to let's not even go to Indians and Native Americans. I don't want to go there because that's just horrifying. Let's just go to the building of this country with immigrant labor, the Chinese, with slave labor, Africans. Yeah. I mean, this is something that minority people, so-called, Mexicans, whatever, have known for a long time. All of this stuff, the terror, the shakedowns in the middle of the night, the denial.
You know what I think it is?
What?
I think it's the fact that a lot of manufacturing jobs have now left the United States. It was fine as long as it didn't touch the middle class. And now it's touching the middle class.
Well,
I think people are starting to notice now.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But I think it's also the fact that whites who set the rules in this country from the moment we invaded this country, whites have never really had to deal with the kind of double speak or the lies and deceptions that people of color have had to deal with. And all of a sudden, white folks are dealing with it. They're at least thinking about it. They're thinking about, you know, the sneak a peek thing in the Patriot Act 2, where they can come into your house with no warrant when you're not home, look around, see what you got, what's happening, what's over here, what's under that, what is that, blah, 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 and then leave. And people of color know that that's been going on forever for them. And all of a sudden, white people are facing this, and they're thinking, but damn, it's white people in power. White people doing this to white people? How could that be? Well, that just holds with my theory that these are not white people running this government. They're aliens, that's all. I mean, if you rip off the white skin, they're actually, I don't know, they're checkered or something. But, you know.
Maybe green for money or
that may be,
you know,
Eric,
something for control.
I'm glad you called in. I hope you're going to call again.
Thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Take care. No, that's the truth. That's the truth. I'm not trying to stir up racial stuff tonight, but that's the truth. Well, you know, white people have never, as a whole, we've never felt that. You know, we have been as invisible in the society or as visible as we chose to be. I can walk down a street in most cities, most neighborhoods, and I'm invisible because I'm white. But you let a person of color walk down that same street and like, hey, yo, come here. What are you doing in this? You know. Where are we? John is calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. Hey, John.
Hi.
How you doing?
Mike, before this 60 Minutes piece aired, it seemed like the focal point in the Michael Jackson case was that what defense attorneys would only dream about, a prior inconsistent statement. And that statement, the statement that was made by the alleged victim and the victim's mother to police officers. And,
Wait. Hold on a second, John. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be stupid. I don't consider myself stupid.
Oh, the Michael Jackson, the family services memo.
I'm not the least bit familiar with that, and I honest to God, I really don't think that too many people listen to this program. I really care about Michael Jackson's stuff. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to show you any disrespect here, my friend.
Okay.
But Michael Jackson, Kobe Bryant, Britney Spears, you know, like, I couldn't care less, and I don't think you could really either. You know, when that stuff comes out in People magazine, occasionally I'll pick up People magazine. When I've got real bowel trouble, I know I'm going to be in the bathroom for 10 or 15 minutes, and I'll take People magazine in with me, and I'll read about Michael Jackson and Britney Spears and all this other mess. You understand what I'm saying, John?
But there seems to be no evidence. And I would think that when it's given to the attorney general, I don't even know if the attorney general or the state attorney is going to look at this, because guess what? There really is no formal complaint.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. I feel a lot of sorrow for any kids that Michael Jackson may have molested. I frankly don't think he's a child molester. I think he's just a freak. That's all. I'd feel bad for Jackson if he's innocent and being falsely accused. But that's as far as it goes on this program. I really okay. All right,
okay.
John. All right, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Appreciate you checking in. Where were we? Oh yeah, the CNN time poll on Howard Dean and George Bush. I don't know. I don't know. Things are just spinning out of control, aren't they? I mean, things are just the center doesn't hold. Wasn't there another one of these Democratic debates over the weekend? Where? Out in Iowa or someplace? Or wasn't there? Reported by the Minneapolis. Is it Minneapolis? The Toronto Star. I guess it was Toronto Star. It says, Howard Dean, the frontrunner for the Democratic presidential nomination, came under attack yesterday by rivals who used a television debate to question his ability to beat George Bush and accused him of undercutting the party's high ground on openness in politics. What? Lieberman and Kerry accuse Howard Dean of undercutting the Democratic Party's openness in politics? And why is that? Oh, that's right. Howard Dean sealed his records, and he said to a judge, or he said to the courts in Vermont, if you want to open them, go ahead and open them. There are some issues involved, not the least of which, when a lot of prominent people in the state of Vermont were lobbying Howard Dean to legitimize civil unions between gays, a lot of those folks were people who just didn't necessarily want their name to be out there. Oh, it just, you know. But here's Joe Lieberman saying, well, I don't know how anybody could say that we're not safer with a homicidal maniac, a brutal dictator, an enemy of the United States, a supporter of terrorism, a murderer of hundreds of thousands of own people in prison instead of in power. That's what Lieberman said, because Howard Dean had said, no, we're not any safer.
Well, Lieberman, for Christ's sake, what are you, deaf, dumb, and blind? Are you not aware of what happened just this over this past 4 or 5 days? We are now escorting commercial jet planes loaded with people, with fighter jets here. We've got Orange Alert. We're canceling on U.S. assistance flights from the U.K. to the United States. All of this has happened subsequent to the deal cut with the Kurdish fighters in Iraq to hand over Saddam Hussein. So Howard Dean is absolutely 1,000% correct when he says we're not safer now than we were before Dean. Or before Saddam was caught. But Joe Lieberman, being the type of person that he is, I just wish Lieberman and Zell Miller and John Breaux and the rest of these people, would you please, guys, would you kindly get the hell out of the Democratic Party? Please. Please go away. Go be Republicans. That's what you people are. Oh. And John Kerry, what is up with Kerry going after Dean? Huh? Kerry went after Dean on what the media refers to as Dean's weak spot. And that is his temper. I don't know. I've never seen his temper. His blunt statements. Oh, let's not have any blunt statements. Let's have the kind of statements that we get from George Jackass Bush. Those are the kinds of statements we want. Yeah. And Kerry said, regarding Dean's penchant for blunt statements, Kerry said, this is the pattern. I think these changes raise a serious question, Governor, about your ability to stand up to George Bush and make Americans feel safe and secure. What? What? Oh, my God. Dean repeated his charge that the capture of Saddam has not made the U.S. safer. In the debate the other day, he pointed to the 23 American deaths in Iraq since Saddam was found, and the chaos in U.S. travel, and fighter jets escorting transatlantic flights, yada, yada, yada. And that's when Lieberman said, I don't know how anybody could say that we're not safer with a homicidal maniac, a brutal dictator, an enemy of the United States. And, you know, until he said in prison, I thought he was talking about Bush. I don't know. I guess it's time. No, it's not time yet. I said I was going to back Kucinich until Kucinich could not be backed any longer. And I've got to stick. I'll stick with that. I'm definitely going to stick with that. But I can see the horizon. It's not that far away, right? Marcelo. Is it Marcelo calling from Santa Barbara?
Yes, Mike.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Absolutely.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a member of the Green Party.
Yeah.
And he's supporting Howard Dean. And a lot of people in the Green Party are supporting Howard Dean, too. And those are very informed people, you know, very well informed.
Well, I have a question, and I mean no disrespect here, but why aren't your friends in the Green Party supporting Dennis Kucinich?
Because they don't think they can win.
Oh, okay, well, you know, I understand that. That was the problem in the election in 2000.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are Democrats who saw that Ralph Nader represented what have been traditional Democratic party positions on the issues, and for backing Nader, they were accused of sabotaging the election of Al Gore and being Class A bastards and so on and so forth. Are you saying then that the Greens this time have decided not to back their what would be their natural candidate, Dennis Kucinich, and are instead going to back Howard Dean because they think he can win? I have no problem with that. Don't misunderstand me. I have no problem with that at all. But I've yet to understand the Green thing. You understand me?
Yes. It's just part of the Green Party. I think most are still backing Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of green for Dean over here in California.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of Dean's to finish, too, maybe more than any other state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have to face it. Kucinich can't win. I mean, I don't see how.
I don't believe that yet. I just don't believe that yet. But we are soon going to know whether or not he's even going to be the nominee, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I hear you loud and clear. Marcelo, I'm glad you called. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
All right, take care.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Five before the hour. Where are we? Oh, we're right here. Neil, who has called from Birmingham, Alabama. Hey, Neil, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Oh, gosh, I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry. It's just typical problems with our little production in here. I'm sorry.
I can just barely hear the tone, but anyway,
yeah.
If you want me to go ahead and try, I'll try.
Yeah, yes, I do. Can you hear me now?
Just barely still.
Okay. I do apologize, but go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I just want to talk about the control that the right wing has on the media. And let's take for instance that the Roy Moore issue here in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm sure you heard about that.
Uh huh.
Okay. Anyway, you know how Roy Moore literally, the media, all of them here, was just totally took over by the more or less the religious right.
Right.
And they controlled the whole deal. I mean, down to the last letter. I mean, every station was more or less just, you would have thought he was going to be running for God.
Uh-huh.
Instead of, you know, and I just more or less wanted to ask your opinion on how we go from here against the Hannitys, the Rush Limbaughs, let's be honest, you know, we have you, we have Tom Hartman, we have, you know, Peter Werber, we have quite a few really fantastic.
Okay, I've got an idea. Can you hear me a little better now?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. How about now?
Yeah, that is better.
Okay. Have you got a pen?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Go to onlinejournal.com.
Onlinejournal.com. Journal.com.
Yeah.
You know who this is, right?
Yeah, this is Neil.
No, I'm talking about crying eagle.com.
Yes, I know.
Okay, I just want to make sure you know who it was.
I got you. Thank you, sir. Thanks for all the emails you sent. Go to onlinejournal.com.
Okay.
And I want you to read Bev Conover's latest piece. It's called What We Can and Must Do. And that will answer the questions that you just asked me.
Bev Conover. Got it.
Onlinejournal.com.
I got you.
And Bev Conover, who is the editor and publisher of Online Journal, read what she just wrote. It's called What We Can and Must Do. And that will answer the question for you. All right, Neil?
That sounds good to me.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in.
All right, sir.
Appreciate your call. Quick break, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is my Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Desperate to stretch its limited ranks, the U.S. Army is expected next week to prohibit still more soldiers now in Iraq and soon to be deployed there from leaving military service. Army officials declined to say which or how many soldiers would be affected when it expands its stop-loss program, which already prevents soldiers in certain heavily used specialties from leaving the military or being reassigned to another unit. But the last such edict, issued November 13th, covered all of the more than 110,000 active-duty soldiers whose units are scheduled to deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan between now and May. Because the order takes effect 90 days before the troops' 12-month deployments and lasts for 90 days after a return home, those troops couldn't retire or leave the Army before the spring of 2005 at the earliest, even if their enlistments expire before then. Willie Nelson has premiered his new anti-war ballad at an Austin fundraising concert for Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich. Nelson brought down the house, said Kucinich's media coordinator Susan Mainzer of the Saturday performance. People were on their feet applauding. The song asked questions such as, how much oil is a human life worth? It is the second protest song Nelson has written. He often performed his Vietnam-era protest song, Jimmy's Road, at peace rallies during the 1991 Gulf War. Asked if his new song might cause a backlash with conservative country music fans, Nelson said, I sure hope so. I don't care if people say, who the hell does he think he is? I know who I am. According to what Washington's foreign policy community expected from the Bush administration's attack in Iraq, much of the trouble the U.S. mission now faces was accurately and publicly predicted by think tanks, both left and right, and even by the State Department itself. As for predicting how much the war would cost or how many troops might be needed, a Council on Foreign Relations Task Force report cited a range of 75,000 to 200,000 U.S. soldiers. There are 130,000 there now. Former State Department official James Dobbins stressed in a footnote that this is not a commitment America alone can long sustain. More after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Following a weekend of bad publicity, Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, retreated from the media spotlight and the public outrage he provoked by hand-feeding a crocodile Friday while holding his infant son. The celebrated animal lover was blasted for feeding a 13-foot crocodile as he cradled one-month-old son Robert on Friday at his park in northeastern Australia.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Dick Cheney's old company, Halliburton, keeps getting stuck in his own Iraqi sand pit. And Cheney and his sidekick, George W., are stuck there, too. Halliburton, which continues to pay about $150,000 a year to its old CEO Cheney, was first in line to get multi-billion-dollar no-bid contracts from the Bush-Cheney regime for occupying and rebuilding Iraq. but don't think that any political favoritism was involved. No, no, Bush officials say. It's just that Dick's old company was the only one in the whole wide world qualified to do the job. Imagine, the only one. And what a job it has done. Take its contract for providing gasoline to Iraqis. An audit shows that the Houston-based giant has already gouged us taxpayers by as much as $61 million on this no-bidder. It's been charging the Pentagon $2.64 a gallon to haul gasoline from nearby Kuwait. Well, yes, say the Bushites, that's expensive, but hey, it's costly to deliver gas in a combat zone. Before you swallow that, though, note that the Pentagon's own Energy Support Center delivers gasoline from Kuwait to Iraqi pumps in exactly the same war conditions for under $1.20 a gallon, less than half of Halliburton's charge. And Iraqi's own state oil company does the same job for under $1 a gallon. Caught in Halliburton's web of deceit, George W. is now trying to get on the high road, declaring that if there's an overcharge, we expect that money to be repaid. Repaid? What about charging his and Cheney's no-bid cronies with fraud? But here comes the real stinker. Halliburton's contract from the Bushites actually gives the company an incentive to overcharge us taxpayers. It guarantees a profit to Halliburton of between 2 and 7% of its costs, meaning that the more cost it can put into each gallon, the more profit Halliburton gets. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's a built-in gouge.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes, if you would like to join in. By the way, today is Shelby LePray's birthday. Isn't that? Did you know that, Kathy? She's the one that runs RadioPower.org. She provides this program to an awful lot of listeners through her website. And instead of sending her a gift, like I know most of you are rushing to do right now, a lot of people are listening going, oh, my God, Shelby's birthday. I forgot completely about it. And, you know, running out to your nearest gift shop. No, you don't have to do that. Just go to radiopower.org and make a donation. It's first of the month again. No, wait a minute. That didn't come out quite right. Happy birthday, Shelby. And if you'd like to wish Shelby a birthday, happy birthday greeting, make a donation to her website so she can keep not just this program, but other programs that she gets out there on the Internet. Would you do that? Okay, thanks. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mike. You're coming in loud and clear, buddy.
Good. Thank you.
Reminds me of that whole that scene from Dr. Strangelove with Peter Sellers. Yes, Dimitri, you're coming in loud and clear.
Yes, you are, Dimitri. What, Dimitri? You say you're at your DACA? Oh, Dimitri, well, I'm sorry. We've lost the plane. I don't know what to say.
Well, I know you're sorry, too, but we're sorry as well.
Right.
But that's not why I called.
I know it's not.
I heard Marcella talking earlier, and she said those words that are just beginning to wear me out. Kucinich can't win.
Okay, just one correction. Marcella's a guy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. No problem. It might have sounded like an A or an O.
No, I've got a Maricela friend who is a female.
Okay. Well, this Marcelo is male.
Ah, okay.
No problem.
Terribly sorry.
That's all right. Yeah.
And my particular apologies to him.
Yeah. Dimitri, we're sorry, too.
Yeah, exactly. in his debate yesterday, Kucinich was asked that same question. The moderator said, "Oh, Congressman Kucinich, there's a lot of Democrats out there that love your message, but they say you can't win.
Right.
What do you say to that?" And very simply put, he said, "Well, I can win if you vote for me."
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. But it's kind of a pitiful little cop out that's being picked up by our people, for God's sakes,
mm-hmm.
from the right wing freaks. You know, but the fact of the matter is, you know, when we say Kucinich can't win, what are we saying? We're saying Bush is electable. Well, he wasn't electable the last time through, Mike.
Yeah, and he's not electable this time.
Except for that horse gagging wad of money.
That's true. That's very true. But Kucinich is not being ignored. Somebody sent me an email and pointed out, using the proper word, information about Kucinich is being systematically suppressed. Coverage of Kucinich is being totally suppressed.
Well, the only other question he got, Mike, was the moderator saying, "Well, I need to ask you, with the mad cow scare going on, how can Iowa beef farmers feel comfortable with you in the White House and you being a vegetarian?"
Oh, for Christ's sake, you are kidding me.
To you, I would not lie.
That was a question posed by somebody at that debate?
Michelle Norris and some guy from the Iowa Fish Rap.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, God bless him, Kucinich says, "You know, I don't think it's about what the president eats. I think it's about whether or not the president's concerned about farmers, ordinary Joe farmers, being able to get their product to market and getting a fair price as compared with the agri-monopolies."
Well, that's obviously not the answer that Michelle Norris and the guy from the Des Moines Register wanted to hear.
No.
That was kind of like the question that Bernard Shaw asked Michael Dukakis.
What would you do if Willie Horton raped your wife?
Raped and murdered your wife. Would you be against the death penalty then? You know, I mean, those kinds of questions put out there by so-called journalists have always just made me want to, I don't know, drink a bottle of milk and magnesia or something to calm down the turmoil that immediately erupts in my gut and my colon because I get so angry.
Well, I just wonder, God bless him, I wonder when he's going to lose his temper and just go across the table.
Well, he doesn't eat meat, so he probably will not lose his temper.
Well, that's...
unlike moi.
He won't get mad.
Yeah, unlike moi, for example, I go berserk at least two or three times a week, and that has a lot to do with the fact that I still eat meat, which I'm just terribly ashamed to admit, but I do.
You got to get your face all messy in a plate of ribs every now and then.
There you go.
Well, I
agree with you. I am so tired of hearing people say, people whom I otherwise either respect or respect their opinions, hearing them say that Kucinich can't win. Why do the work of Fox News Network or the Republican National Committee by saying that?
Well, it's like standing at the horse track at post time and just looking over at your buddy and saying, "Well, you know, I already know the fix is in."
Yeah, right. And your horse isn't going to win. Yeah.
Oh, and one last thing, because I heard it on the top of the hour news, Mike.
Yeah.
There was mention of the stop-loss program.
Yeah, to keep people in the military who want to get out.
Well, again, God bless him. Dennis came out and said that stop-loss program is a draft.
Right.
And B, nothing short of involuntary servitude in violation of the 14th Amendment.
Ah, but nobody wants to hear that. They want to know why, what he would do as a vegetarian.
They want to know why he won't eat a damn hamburger.
There you go. These are the issues America wants to know, right up there with why did Britney Spears' marriage only last 48 hours? Come on, Robin.
Probably because she's a meat eater.
That could be it. Robin, thanks for checking in.
Have a great one, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah. Somebody had the courage to use the S word that we've been using on this program for I don't know how long. God, Kathy, sometimes I feel like we're so far ahead of the curve that, I hear this little handful of liberal talk show hosts that are just catching up to stuff that we've been doing for a year and a half. I just don't understand it. But here's a guy, Neil Starkman, who wrote a column for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And he brings up the S word, this has to do with what we're talking about. And he says, even at this date in Bush's presidency, after all that's happened, his popularity still hovers at around 50%. An astonishingly high figure, given the state of most people's lives now as compared to what they were 3 or 4 years ago. And Neil Starkman says, what can explain his popularity? Can that many people be enamored of what he has accomplished in Iraq? Or how he has fortified our constitutional freedoms with USA Patriot Act? Or how he has bolstered our economy? Or how he has protected our environment? Perhaps, Neil Starkman writes, they've been impressed with the president's personal integrity and the articulation of his grand vision for America. Is that likely? And then he goes on, you know, he says some other things. The only people who are really supportive of what Bush has done are millionaires and evangelical Christians. The two groups that I hope are a very small a minority of this population. But why do so many people support Bush? And Starkman answers his own question by saying something we've been saying on this program for, what, 2 years, Kathy? The S word. The stupid factor. People are just not very bright. They're stupid. And Neil Starkman says, the answer, I'm afraid, is the factor that dare not speak its name. It's the factor that no one talks about. The pollsters don't ask it. The media don't report it. The voters won't discuss it. I, however, will blur out its name so that it'll ask people can address the issue and perhaps adopt strategies to overcome it. It's the stupid factor. Well, Neil, with all due respect, sir, Jesus, never mind. He does go on to say it's not merely that some people are insufficiently intelligent to grasp the nuances of foreign policy or constitutional law or macroeconomics of the variegated interplay or the variegated interplay of humans and the environment. These aren't the people I'm referring to. The people I'm referring to cannot understand the phenomenon of cause and effect. And above all, far above all, they don't think. Yeah. Of course, politicians have been aware of this forever, and that's why those are the sorts of people that are catered to with the simplistic solutions to complex problems. How many times have you heard it? Every time a too stupid to be president opens his mouth, you hear it. The politicians evade directed questions with non sequiturs. Not just politicians. You can hear, what's his name? Who's the press secretary? Scotty McClellan, you can hear him do it every time we play his sound bites on this program. You hear it, the non sequiturs, the half-assed answers, the insanity coming out of this guy's mouth, the meaningless, jingoistic pap that comes out instead of thoughtful policy. And the American public, us, that's you and me, we as a group, are so stupid. So Neil Starkman, writing for the Seattle newspaper, says, let's start talking. Let's bring the S factor, the stupid factor, out of the closet and into the daylight where we can all see it, gulp at its hideousness, and finally make serious attempts to bring it to bay. Neil, not in your lifetime is that going to happen, my man. Americans are very comfortable with stupidity. Those who are not aware that the S factor even exists. And that happens to be the majority of us. It is. It just is. It is. Especially given the slickness of the Bush crime family, the use of Newspeak, the use of the George Orwell dictionary or encyclopedia on how to completely control a population through fear, misunderstanding, lies, and distortions. You know, this administration using the pig man and the baby Jesus on radio and even the horse molester. Well, I'm not going to say his name. using these people to get their message across on national radio. It's just greasy. It's slimy. It's awful. It's just awful. But even given that, we're still stupid. We're still stupid. And I swear to God. Our mamas and daddies, our grandmas and grandpas would all be ashamed, wouldn't they? They would all be ashamed. Your truth seeker, your 10th grade civics teacher would be ashamed to realize how stupid you've allowed yourself to become. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people who don't even listen to this program. What the hell am I talking about it for, anyway? Oh, that's right. Neil Starkman wrote about it in a Seattle newspaper as if all of a sudden a light dawned over his head like, oh, I get it. People are stupid. Come on, Neil. Come on, Neil. If a Seattle radio station had ever carried this program, you wouldn't have been able to write that column. Celebrate me. Be an idiot. Act lonely. Stay ignorant. Be remedial. Wear the dust caps. Loud children drool like a hunchback. Don't discuss things. Shout the last word. Put your good sense out the pasture. Drop your IQ. That's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientists. Try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
to tell you something about this country. In my mind, there is no doubt that we won't solve these problems.
You stupid sack of beans. Oh, my God. Glenn emailed in, Mike, in my opinion, is more than stupidity regarding why people choose to believe. The nonsense being sold to us is truth. I think the truth is too frightening for some people to accept, so they just simply reject it. Well, okay. I guess that's part of it, too. Andy is calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Mike. I've been listening to you for well over a year and a half on iTunes, and I'll be with you to the bitter end.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And the bitter end is approaching like a Mack truck.
Well, it's tough to accept.
I know. Those unemployment checks are going to be a bitch, too, I'll tell you.
Well, if you're out there on the Internet, I hope I can find you again, because every night.
Yeah, we will land someplace, I hope. I really hope. And when we do, we will have it at my website, MikeMalloy.com. So what we're telling people, just, you know, occasionally check into the website, and we'll let you know where we've... if we stay in, you know, and by we, I mean Kathy and me. If we stay in radio, you'll know about it.
Right. Well, as Robin kind of stole some of my thunder a little while ago, he was talking about why are people giving up on Kucinich in the primary? I mean, that's when you're supposed to vote your conscience. If your horse loses, it's, well, unless Lieberman wins, it's still a Democrat running against Bush. So why not?
Yeah.
Give it a shot for Kucinich. I mean, the people that listen to this show got to be the diehards. How can they give up so soon?
I know that's something I can't understand. I have an awful lot of Dean supporters who listen to this program, and I have great respect for those folks. I have a lot of Wesley Clark supporters. I have great respect for those folks. A lot of Gephardt. Well, never mind. But where it concerns Kucinich, you know, it goes back. It goes all the way back to 2000, where the best Democrat in that race was Ralph Nader, and there was just so much blood on the tracks with Democrats and Greens fighting and blaming each other and so on and so forth. This year, obviously, I think it's obvious at this point, that's not going to happen. But it raised the issue: if you call yourself a Democrat, why not support the candidate who truly is a Democrat? And to me, the word Democrat is interchangeable with the word liberal. To call someone a liberal Democrat is redundant. The Democratic Party has always been the party of liberalism until the Democratic Leadership Conference decided that, hey, look, we've got to move to the center, we've got to move to the right, and people like all Southerners and mostly white, people like Sam Nunn and Al Gore and Bill Clinton, and the list goes on and on and on. Al Fromm, people who said, look, people don't like liberalism. I don't believe that to be the case. I think people don't like extremism, whether it's liberal or conservative, but liberalism is what built this country. And I'm not talking about the bad aspects of this country. I'm talking about the good aspects of this country.
It was, look back at anything that's ever been done right in America, and it was done with a liberal mindset.
Yeah, and
if it was done by a Republican.
And it just infuriates me that the Democrats have allowed a media and these right-wing radio cretins and scum to turn the word liberal into a bad word where even Democrats run away from it. Oh, I'm not a liberal. No, I'm a moderate. I'm not a liberal. I'm a progressive. I'm not a liberal. I'm a centrist. I'm not a liberal. I'm an independent. You know, and that just infuriates me that has happened. Hey, listen, let me put you on hold a second. Got to take a quick break, and I've been doing all the talking, and you called. So I'll put you on hold. Andy will come back right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Be my think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A group of endangered whales seems to be doing better, but some of its cousins are still in tough shape. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Whale watchers in South Africa have more to look at these days. They're seeing more southern right whales that are feeding offshore with their calves. These marine mammals were once on the verge of extinction, but their numbers seem to be on the increase. Unfortunately, the situation for their relatives, the northern right whale, is not good at all. Michael Moore is a marine biologist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts, and he studied the right whale in both the North and South Atlantic. He says bans on whaling were critical for the survival of the southern right whale. In the 1920s, their numbers off the coast of South Africa were down to about 300. An international treaty in the 1930s protected them from hunting. The population started to grow slowly, and today it's up to more than 840. In just the past year, the population of southern right whales around South Africa went up by more than 150. Moore says that's a substantial increase. He says it can be expected when whales have food, the opportunity to reproduce, and water that's relatively free from pollution and human activity.
What you're seeing in the southern ocean around the globe with these various populations of southern right whales is nature doing its thing.
Nature does not have as much opportunity to do its thing in the North Atlantic near New England. In those waters, the population of northern right whales stands at only 300, and it has not been going up. The slow-moving right whale is particularly vulnerable to collisions with ships. It also suffers from entanglement with fishing gear. Moore says those problems make it hard to see a future where northern right whales experience the apparent good fortune of their relatives off the coast of South Africa. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are talking with Andy, who called in from Baltimore. Now, where were we about the Kucinich thing?
Oh, we were just bemoaning the quits that everyone's throwing up about. He can't win. I keep hearing I listen to all these shows after work. I listen to Peter B. Collins. I listen to you, and I hear all these Democrats saying, "Well, I really like Dennis's platform, and except I don't think he can win." Well, vote for him and see if he does win
Right.
The primary.
Right. But I think there's a couple things at play there. First of all, people like his platform, but they can't vote for him because they don't think he can win. I think what that statement reveals, at least it does to me, is just absolute terror that that George Bush might serve another 4 years as the CEO of this country. And if that were to take place, I think a lot of people realize that representative government is dead. A democratic republic that has been the United States is dead. Our standing in the world is dead. And just global chaos is going to result. And I think that's the reason a lot of people say, well, Kucinich, yeah, I really like what he stands for, but I can't vote for him because he can't win. I think that displays an awful lot of fear. And the fact is, the Democrats put their own heads, the leaders of the Democratic Party, put their own heads in a noose, and the rest of us, when they stack these primaries in a way that the decision will be made as to who the Democratic nominee is going to be by, what, Kathy, by the middle of March, I think it will have all been decided. And which does not give the Democratic Party a chance to have, well, this guy won that primary, and this person won that primary, and this person and this woman run that. And then we get to the convention, and we slug it out, and we hash it out, and we come up with a candidate we can all agree on. The Democrats in the Democratic Leadership Conference were terrified of that kind of Democratic Party politics, the kind of Democratic Party politics that has existed for an awful long time.
Well, so it's the kind that they can't control.
Right.
They can't install their boy and...
There you go. There you go.
And run the show.
Right. So
as opposed to you know, the people running the show, which...
Yeah. I think what we're hearing, when you hear it, when I hear it, when anybody hears it about Dennis Kucinich, well, I really like Kucinich, but I just don't think he can win. I think that's fear talking, and I think people realize that Bush has got to go. And if they think Howard Dean can do it, then they're gonna vote for Dean. If they think Wesley Clark can do it, they're gonna vote for Wesley Clark. But I just wish that folks would wait until these primaries, as poorly constructed as the primary process is, wait until.
What can it hurt to go ahead and vote your conscience in the primary?
Well, there you go.
I can understand the anybody but Bush thing in the general election when it's down to. It's crunch time, and we either got to get rid of him or ruin this country completely with another 4 years of this guy. And then we take our vote and use it like a strategy and vote however it'll get him out of there, because anyone is better than him.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, except Lieberman.
Pat Buchanan.
Right, or Lieberman, yeah. Well, I hear you loud and clear, Andy, and I'll tell you, some decisions are going to be made very soon regarding the direction of this country. The decisions are going to be made in the Democratic Party primary season, and the decisions are going to be made this year on November 2nd when we go to the polls. And I'm praying for my country. I don't believe in prayer. But what's the word? If I don't believe in prayer, I am meditating on my country and hoping that my country will come out of this morass and save itself. Andy, thanks for checking in.
Hey, thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Don't be offended because I say I don't believe in prayer. That's just me, you know. All right? To me, prayer is, you know, you're talking to yourself.
That's okay.
Which is okay, you know. Of course, we lock people up in mental institutions for talking. No, we don't do that anymore, do we? Yeah, we give them cabinet appointments. There are known knowns. There are unknown unknowns. What, Kathy? You have to open up your microphone.
I'm sorry. I said I was thinking more of General Ashcroft. You know, Zacharias Moussaoui is a known terrorist.
General Ashcroft?
He likes to be called General.
I like to have the cat lick my feet at night when I'm going to bed, but that doesn't mean she does it every night either. Excuse me?
I said totally different problem.
Okay, you've got to open your mic every time you talk to me, okay? There you go. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
How am I?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I want to say something about the stupid factory. Down here, I think we call it the Bubba factory.
The Bubba factory. Well, that's
the,
what
the Bubba factory, and we got the Bubba factor, and we got the right-wing Christian
factor. Well, we got
and then we got the, and we got a mixture of all of them and the racism, and it's just, by God, I don't care if it affects me,
right,
as long as they don't get theirs.
Right, right. Well, we have the and, same. We have the same thing in Georgia.
And but I see it all the time down here. And you, I mean, you can sit back at a shopping mall or anything, and you pick out. You can probably pick out the Bush people, which is going to be about 90% of them.
Right.
And there's something else that I was wondering about, too, well, being as I bring this up.
All right.
How do they come up with these orange coke? You know, well, I mean, I know I've heard about all this stuff, but
right,
they said they hear chatter. Well, where do they hear chatter at? Are they being hearing chatter on the phone or on the on the computer or
then they
broadcast it on the CNN and all this on
right,
the news, and don't you think Al Qaeda knows that they do this?
Yeah.
So they probably chat. They're probably not going to chat whenever they come here, sorry.
I think it's all nonsense.
I think it is too.
I think it's all distortions. I think it's all lies. I think the Bush crime family gets up every morning and thanks God and Yahweh and Allah for Al-Qaeda, because that gives the Bush crime family a reason for existence. I don't believe any of this stuff is true. The attack on this country was true, and it required an international police action to hunt those bastards down and bring them to trial. But the Bush crime family wanted none of that. What they wanted was the opportunity that the attack on this country on September 11th afforded the Bush crime family and PNAC and Patriot Act and all these right-wing neo-Nazis. But we had a vicious attack by a handful of stateless, reactionary religious zealots. And regardless of what their rationale was for attacking this country, it should have been handled like a massive internationally cooperating police action to track every one of the sons of bitches down and bring them to justice and put them under a jail someplace. But that's not what happened, Joe, and that's why we're stuck where we're stuck.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, that's all I got.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Oh, Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein has been captured. The world is now safe for democracy. Oh, we bombed Afghanistan. Well, that takes care of that problem. What? Oh, we didn't find Osama? Oh, well, we'll find him. Look, you know, they could get the one-eyed Mullah Muhammad Omar. They could get Osama. They can get Noriega. They can get Saddam. They can get who else? The Saudi royal family. They can get all these business partners and co-conspirators of the Bush family. They can bring every one of these people. They can blow them up. Bring them. Put them in prisons in Miami. Put them in Cuba. Do whatever they want, and it will do absolutely nothing to stop the kind of terrorism that exists on this planet. What will stop the kind of terrorism that exists on this planet? Well, a couple of things. First of all, hunt them down, arrest them, bring them to trial, international tribunal, court of justice in The Hague. That would be step two. Step one would be to, honest to God, try to ameliorate or end the conditions, whether they be religious, political, environmental, social, whatever they are, that give rise to these terrorists. But no, that's too complicated. That's too complex. That's too liberal. So the other solution, the other alternative, is that redundant? The alternative, bomb them! Blow the bastards up! Well, who do we blow up? They all came from Saudi Arabia. Do we blow up Saudi? No! That's my business partner. Blow up Afghanistan! Why Afghanistan? Because the Saudis fund madrasas there. The school... Well, but shouldn't we go for the head of the beast? Wouldn't that be Saudi? No! Well, what about Iraq? Why do we... Because they have oil! It's insanity. You know it, and I know it. But as Joe calls them, the Bubbas in this country, or as the writer called it, or as I've called on this program, you know, the stupid factor. It's too big, people. It's just too big. With Limbaugh out there, the pig man, and Hannity, the baby Jesus, and the psychopath Savage, and Michael Medved, and all these right-wing talk show hosts on television and radio, it's this huge, huge echo chamber of lies and distortions and stupidity. And it never stops. It just never, ever, ever, ever stops. It just gets louder. So what to do about it? I know what to do about it, but I dare not say it on a radio program. I dare not say it in public. Especially now in the age of the USA Patriot Act. I dare not offer my solution. Leland is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Leland.
Hi. I just had two things. One, the music on your program is really great.
Well, thank you. That our music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas, and Kathy's ability to put together our topics with the music never fails to amaze me.
That's really amazing. I hope you guys do a CD.
That would be great fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, I haven't heard any of those folk and rap and rock and roll political activism tunes anywhere else. Tom Harmon has a couple, too.
Yeah.
And the two of you guys are the only known distribution for those incredibly potent and timely musical descriptions of what's going on right now.
I'll say thanks on behalf of Kathy and Jim in Arkansas, who provides so much of this stuff. And then, like I said, Kathy will pair up the music. How she does it, I have no idea, because she must have 1,500 songs on CDs or on mini discs, and how she manages to keep this stuff straight, I have no idea. But between Jim in Arkansas and Kathy here, yeah, they've done just one hell of a job, and I'm just totally out of that loop. I mean, I just get amazed that they're able to put together that kind of music.
Yeah, especially about the stupid factor with that rap tune called Dumb It Down.
Dumb It Down, right.
That was great.
Wasn't that? And
amazing.
And it's quick. I mean, it's quick. We'll be talking about something, and we'll go to a break. And, again, it shocks me.
Right.
She'll have something up there that just ties in with what we've been talking about.
That's talent.
Yeah, it is talent. She's
Listen,
good.
There's just one other thing I wanted to tell you about. I just want to remind you that on January 14th, Ellen Mariani's court case is going to oral arguments in Philadelphia.
God, I hope she doesn't have a car wreck. You know what I'm saying?
No kidding. Phil Burke's been putting out to everybody just to make sure that everybody knows that he's not suicidal.
Yeah. Well, now this, in case people don't know, this is a case where the woman has filed a civil lawsuit against George Bush regarding the death of her husband.
Yeah.
In the 911 attack on this country. And, of course, you hear nothing about it does Hartman talk about it?
Harmon is planning on covering it when
Great.
He gets a little bit more details.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I know several callers have brought it up on this program, and we covered we had the attorney on, and we had her. We had them both on, thanks to the man I'm talking to right now. but we had for those who aren't aware of that connection, Leland was the one who got Ellen Mariani and her attorney, and. I've forgotten. I think I have it on my website, but do you know what their web address is?
Yeah, it's 911forthetruth.com. That's 911forthetruth.com.
911forthetruth.com.
Yeah, and they've got all the papers there. And just the other thing to know is that there's a lot of really serious veterans behind the case, too.
I would hope.
I
would hope. There's so many aspects of this Bush crime family that I would hope finally that veterans and even active duty people are just fed up to their eyeballs with. I would hope that veterans would do everything in their power to legally and peacefully work to get this crime family out of power.
Yeah, I met a man today. He's an ex-captain. The other day, he's ex-captain in military intelligence, Army intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me just wait until the Army figures this out.
Well, I hope they figure it out before November 2nd.
Me too.
Thanks, Leland.
Take care, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, for a moment there, it just slipped my mind that Leland was the one who got us Ella Mariani and her attorney for the interview. We had that before Christmas, yeah, a couple weeks ago. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Based on everything I've seen, I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th.
He lies and he lies and he lies. He just lies and he lies and he lies and he lies. He can lie any time. He can lie any place. He crosses his fingers and keeps a straight face. He lies and he lies and he lies. Too many believe him, they're bleating like sheep. Accomplices now in the liar's deceit. He lies and he lies and he lies. Lies, lies.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipolene and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipolene.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipolene at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health healthier living,
entertainment options for the whole family,
and how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for The Cooking Couple Show.
And when The Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two, four, and you.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling that 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We still have an hour left of the program after this break coming up, and just a whole lot of territory to cover. Boy, this happens every night, doesn't it? Almost. Susan is calling from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's my day to... get on my bandwagon about Kucinich again. I called Marianne's show earlier about the same thing. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
He's only not electable if we don't elect him. And I'm getting really sick of hearing friends that know in their hearts, what they really want,
right,
and say, well, he's not electable. And by saying that, they're saying they can never get what they want. You know, and I think there's a tremendous fear. You were talking about fear, and I think there is a tremendous fear out there. And there's also a thing that people want to be on the side that's winning, so to speak. And, Dean gives off that aura, of a winner. But to me, it's like a mirror of Bush. You know, Bush is like this bulldog, and Dean can do it right back. And it's kind of scary. And
But that may be exactly what we need.
I don't know. The guy has to have integrity. I was really disappointed to find out that he published that brochure that said that he was the only one who was against the war. He's put this out to all his folks,
right,
that he was the only one who was against the war from the beginning. And I don't even know if that's true. I know that it's not true that he was the only one, because Kucinich,
sure,
and Carol Moseley Brown and Ebron and Sharpton were against it.
Mm-hmm.
But why he would do that, I mean, it's just like such an outright lie to do that. I don't think the guy plays fair. And I don't trust them, and, I'm sorry about that, but I really do not, and I don't know that I would be any better off with him in the White House, because I never know who he really is.
Well, I understand that,
and
I think if Dean does get the nomination, he's going to have a few months to let people like you and me know who he really is. Having said that, though, and agreeing with you, I do believe... In fair play, I do believe that somebody like Dennis Kucinich should be the president of this country. But having said all that, sometimes if Howard Dean comes across as a bit of a street fighter, the Bush crime family has no scruples at all. People who play fair with the Bush crime family are asking to be shot down, and so it just may take somebody like Howard Dean. Hey, listen, there's some music.
Okay.
We got a break.
Thank you so much.
All right, Susan, thanks for checking in. All right, stay with us, folks. Quick break. We'll be back. Final hour coming up. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
According to what Washington's foreign policy community expected from the Bush administration's attack on Iraq, much of the trouble the U.S. mission now faces was accurately and publicly predicted by think tanks, both left and right, and even by the State Department itself. As for predicting how much the war would cost or how many troops might be needed, a Council on Foreign Relations Task Force report cited a range of 75,000 to 200,000 U.S. soldiers. There are 130,000 there now. Former State Department official James Dobbins stressed in a footnote that this is not a commitment America alone can long sustain. Desperate to stretch its limited ranks, the U.S. Army is expected next week to prohibit still more soldiers now in Iraq and soon to be deployed there from leaving military service. Army officials declined to say which or how many soldiers would be affected when it expands its stop-loss program, which already prevents soldiers in certain heavily used specialties from leaving the military or being reassigned to another unit. But the last such edict, issued November 13th, covered all of the more than 110,000 active duty soldiers whose units are scheduled to deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan between now and May. Because the order takes effect 90 days before the troops' 12-month deployments and lasts for 90 days after a return home, those troops couldn't retire or leave the Army before the spring of 2005 at the earliest, even if their enlistments expire before then. Pakistan scientists have sold plans to make a nuclear bomb to Libya for millions of pounds. Saif al-Islam, son of Libyan leader Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, has confirmed. Saif stated that Libya had bought nuclear components from a variety of black market dealers and dealt with an underground network of middlemen and secret workshops. Some Arab sources said some of the components for the Libyan nuclear program were bought in Dubai and shipped to Libya. Western experts were taken aback when they found that nuclear scientists working for the Libyan leader had a full bomb dossier from Pakistan and said the Pakistani scientist may have received as much as $100 million over several years starting from the 1990s.
More after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Residents who openly bought and sold hashish at a famous hippie enclave in Copenhagen abruptly demolished their booths on Sunday when dealers and residents tore down two dozen colorful booths that have stood along the sparsely paved but well-traveled Pusher Street for years. Police in recent months have increased the number of raids to stop the drug deals, and residents have been split over eliminating the sales completely.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Dick Cheney's old company, Halliburton, keeps getting stuck in his own Iraqi sand pit. And Cheney and his sidekick, George W., are stuck there, too. Halliburton, which continues to pay about $150,000 a year to its old CEO Cheney, was first in line to get multi-billion-dollar no-bid contracts from the Bush-Cheney regime for occupying and rebuilding Iraq. But don't think that any political favoritism was involved. No, no, Bush officials say. It's just that Dick's old company was the only one in the whole wide world qualified to do the job. Imagine, the only one. And what a job it has done. Take its contract for providing gasoline to Iraqis. An audit shows that the Houston-based giant has already gouged us taxpayers by as much as $61 million on this no-bidder. It's been charging the Pentagon $2.64 a gallon to haul gasoline from nearby Kuwait. Well, yes, say the Bushites, that's expensive, but hey, it's costly to deliver gas in a combat zone. Before you swallow that, though, note that the Pentagon's own Energy Support Center delivers gasoline from Kuwait to Iraqi pumps in exactly the same war conditions for under $1.20 a gallon, less than half of Halliburton's charge. And Iraqi's own state oil company does the same job for under $1 a gallon. Caught in Halliburton's web of deceit, George W. is now trying to get on the high road, declaring that if there's an overcharge, we expect that money to be repaid. Repaid? What about charging his and Cheney's no-bid cronies with fraud? But here comes the real stinker. Halliburton's contract from the Bushites actually gives the company an incentive to overcharge us taxpayers. It guarantees a profit to Halliburton of between 2 and 7% of its costs, meaning that the more cost it can put into each gallon, the more profit Halliburton gets. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's a built-in gouge.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right now, Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 and a half past the hour. Diane in Florida sent an email in regarding the Kucinich candidacy, and kind of addressed to the folks who were afraid of backing Kucinich, even though he may be the person that folks would like to see in the White House. She writes, Mike, the reason people think only Dean can win against Bush is that the media are telling them only Dean can win against Bush. And the reason people think Kucinich can't win is the media are telling them he can't win. If they mention him at all. The Democratic primary is being manipulated by conservative Christian Republican media that is apoplectic at the prospect of having a liberal in the White House. It's January, for heaven's sake. It's no time to be throwing in the towel and giving up. Make your compromises in November if you have to. Don't make them now. From Diane in Florida. Yeah, that's exactly. That's the point. That's the point. That is the point. The only point of difference I would have with Diane's email is that the compromise will have to be made before November. It will be made, it will have to be made when the primary season is over, if a compromise has to be made at all for those of us who support Kucinich. If Kucinich is not the candidate, that will be determined by the end of March, 1st of April? And then it's time to go to work for the Democratic Party's candidate. Unless it's Lieberman. If it is Lieberman, I'm out of here. I've said this before. I mean, that's when I become apolitical. I'm sorry, because there is no difference. Regardless of what was said during the run-up to the 2000 election, there is no difference between a Joe Lieberman and a George Bush. Well, the only difference is Lieberman has more intelligence in his left toenail, one of them, than George Bush has in his entire body. But that's the only difference. Politically, they are soul brothers. Moving on, Carol is calling from San Lorenzo, California. Hey, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
In San Lorenzo, New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. I'm sorry.
Yes. And I want to report that there's a massive movement towards Kucinich out here.
Oh, really?
Really. Greens are re-registering in numbers like you wouldn't believe. The Bernalillo County, that's Albuquerque, county clerk reports that, you know, usually 50 people change their registrations
mm-hmm.
a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last month it was over, November it was over 600.
Oh, my God.
And in December, the last month that you could change your registration to vote February 3rd for Kucinich, it was over 900, and that's just one county.
Do you think that this might be going on in other parts of the country, Carol, or that there is a quiet Kucinich thing that is going to happen?
I hear the same thing from Arizona. You know, people around here are concerned about labor and labor issues, and he is labor's dream candidate.
Isn't he? Yeah, yeah.
And they are concerned about losing jobs to NAFTA. They're concerned about the environment. They're concerned that we don't turn into another California, and Kucinich believes in regulating corporations in the public interest. These are all people issues.
Right.
As well as green issues. And we have just seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people registered just to vote for Kucinich. I work the farmer's market to register people to vote and to give out information on Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, in 8 weeks, I registered 229 people, and 92% were Democrats.
Wow.
I registered as Democrats. But of those 92%, I registered 185 people who changed from green to Democrat. I mean, that's one little farmer's market with one little voter registration. They are just delighted to have an opportunity to vote for a candidate that really reflects mm-hmm. what they want to believe in and to believe our nation can become.
Well, I hope that what you're reporting, Carol, is just a tiny, tiny little slice of what's going on across the country. Again, I have no really bad things to say about any of these Democrats at this point. I've made it very clear who the person that I back, except Lieberman. And I cannot handle Lieberman. He is not a Democrat, and he should get the hell out of the party. But I hope that what you're reporting is something that's going on not just in New Mexico or Arizona, but maybe in Michigan, maybe in Maryland, maybe in Florida. That would be it would be a wonderful thing to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we are the poorest state in the nation.
New Mexico?
Yes.
You're kidding.
I mean, we even beat Mississippi.
Is that right? Based on what? Per capita income?
Per capita income and children under poverty guidelines and wages paid and so on. and in this county where I'm living right now, there's 25% unemployment.
Wow.
25%. I mean, we had the mines all closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can find a job.
Mm-hmm.
At any, they had 200 people apply for one part-time job at the dollar store.
Oh, my God.
And so if everybody thinks the nation is prosperous and we don't need Kucinich and same-o is what they want, they should vote for the other candidates.
That's true. That's true. Carol, thanks for the information. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, I'll tune back on to the web.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Is it possible, would it be possible to go back to pre-NAFTA, which is what Kucinich advocates, would it be possible to stop the hemorrhaging of jobs from this country to Mexico and then like a rock skipping across some fetid swamp onto China? Is there any way to stop that? Is there any way to prevent this loss of dignity that comes with the loss of a job, whether it's manufacturing, now it's service jobs, whether it's customer service, which really is kind of a joke in this country, but all of those jobs are being exported. Is there a way to stop it? Is Dennis Kucinich, is it possible that a Kucinich presidency would stop it? There's only one way, and you know it as well as I do, and that is if Kucinich had a liberal Democratic Congress behind him. Is that possible? Is it possible to have a Democratic Congress, both House and Senate? Is it possible? Because a Dennis Kucinich or Howard Dean or Democrat X cannot do it on his or her own. It can't be done that way. And I mention that not to throw a wet blanket on discussions about Dennis Kucinich, but just kind of a reality check for me, I guess, because I can't, there's a part of me that thinks, well, you know, the Kucinich presidency will be saved. Which is really kind of jerky thinking, so if there's to be a Kucinich presidency, if there is to be an attempt to correct the damage, to repair the damage and correct the wrongs that this criminal administration has perpetrated against the United States and the rest of the world over these past 3 years, it's going to take more than just a Dennis Kucinich. You know, he is not. Even Aragorn needed the armies of what Rohan, thank you, Kathy. Even Aragorn and who's the archer, my boy Legolas, right? Even they needed the same thing Dennis is going to need. I can't get Return of the King out of my mind. I'm sorry, okay? I can't get the trilogy, the Ring trilogy, out of my head.
Probably because they won't stop playing it on cable.
Is that what it is?
Over and over,
over again. But Dennis Kucinich is not Aragorn, and even if he were, he still needs the armies of Rohan to help him, and that's where a liberal democratic, again, that used to be a redundancy, a liberal democratic Congress to assist. But the presidency is a start. Maybe if a Kucinich candidate, oh, the hell with that. Maybe if Dennis Kucinich were elected and the American public could see what a person of integrity in the Oval Office could do, or at least advocate, maybe that would mean in the congressional elections, if he doesn't go in with a majority of members of Congress, that 2 years past his inauguration, such a majority would come his way. I don't know. But for anyone who thinks that Dennis Kucinich is the answer, or Howard Dean, or Wesley Clark, or whomever, let us not forget that that's not the case. As long as a A vermin, is that, what's a single vermin? Vermin are rats and cockroaches and silverfish and stuff like that. So what's singular of vermin? I don't know either. As long as a vermin like Tom DeLay is in charge of the United States House of Representatives, and he is, as long as a go-along, get-along, nonsensical family gangster like Bill Frist is in charge of the United States Senate, it doesn't make any difference if Jesus Christ were elected president. Well, I guess that could make a difference. I mean, he's able to perform miracles, right? He could hurl thunderbolts. No, I'm confusing him with Greeks and Norse gods. That's right. Never mind. So it takes a Congress, a Democratic Congress, a liberal Democratic Congress, to work along with Dennis Kucinich to try to repair the damage. Is that possible?
The weapons flow. Destabilize the Middle East. Enrich the CEO. Lie down, people. Lay down your Bill of Rights. Tell James Madison we had to let those amendments go.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Okay, vermin is like fish. It's singular and plural. Although you can say fishes, but only when you're referring to different species, right? Oh, never mind. Richard is calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Mike. Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
Hey, picture this. Election night 2004, a nervous George Bush gets a call from Karl Rove. Karl says, good news, Mr. President. George says, hot damn, you mean we won? Says, no, sir. I just got a great deal on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
Yeah. Yeah, you ought to send that to Geico. That'd either make you wealthy or, I don't know, you'd be...
Or get sued one.
You'd be visited by somebody from the Secret Service. That's a good one.
Yeah, let me ask you, I heard something today. Do you remember anything during the Clinton presidency about him having free speech zones like Bush has?
No, but I do know that during the second Clinton administration, or was it the first? I think it was the second. There was legislation passed by the Republican-controlled House and signed. Well, it was passed by the Senate too, but it was signed by Bill Clinton that did put some restrictions on freedom of expression in this country, and that was as a result of the bombing in Oklahoma. It was a result of the attack on the first attack on the Trade Towers in New York. Bill Clinton is not the untarnished liberal that a lot of people would like to assume he is. Now, this is not necessarily legislation that he initiated. It's not necessarily stuff that came out of his mind, but it is stuff that he signed into law as president that could have been, had he vetoed it, could have been sustained. The veto could have been sustained. So while they didn't have so-called First Amendment zones during the Clinton years, there was an awful lot of surveillance and I know because I was the object of some of the surveillance when I was in Chicago and was very vocal even in both on my program and on WLS and also out in the streets of Chicago, very vocal in being against the NATO bombing of Serbia. And I can tell you now that, the intimidation factor there with the cameras whenever I would speak in public or and the recording devices to see, you know, let's see what this Mike Malloy is saying. And it's very intimidating, and that was because, you know, I wasn't advocating the overthrow of the government. I wasn't advocating that Bill Clinton be run out of town. I was speaking out against U.S. policy with NATO where it concerned the bombing of Serbia. Now, whether I was right or wrong is not the point. The point is, this was during the Clinton years. So,
right.
You know, Bill Clinton is not a liberal.
No, I think I agree with what you said before. He's a moderate Republican at best. And it really doesn't surprise me if he did have those. I just didn't remember it off the top of my head, and I was talking to somebody who mentioned it today.
You know, and one of the things I could not understand completely is why black folk in this country so ardently supported Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton signed into law. Well, for example, increasing by, I think, 20 or 30 different conditions or situations where the death penalty could be applied. We all know in this country that minority people, so-called, do not get the same kind of justice as majority people, which would be whites. We all know this. Even the governor of the former governor of Illinois, George Ryan, brought an end to capital punishment in Illinois for that very reason. And yet Bill Clinton had no problem signing into law an extension of or an increase in the number of crimes subject to the federal death penalty. Now, I don't see that as being progressive or liberal, especially in a country where it is understood, it is a given, that rich white people are not executed to the same extent that middle-class white people or minority people are executed. Let me put you on hold, Richard. I got a break, and I've been talking over most of your time. We'll come right back.
Lies and people die.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A group of endangered whales seems to be doing better, but some of its cousins are still in tough shape. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Whale watchers in South Africa have more to look at these days. They're seeing more southern right whales that are feeding offshore with their calves. These marine mammals were once on the verge of extinction, but their numbers seem to be on the increase. Unfortunately, the situation for their relatives, the northern right whale, is not good at all. Michael Moore is a marine biologist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts, and he studied the right whale in both the North and South Atlantic. He says bans on whaling were critical for the survival of the southern right whale. In the 1920s, their numbers off the coast of South Africa were down to about 300. An international treaty in the 1930s protected them from hunting. The population started to grow slowly, and today it's up to more than 840. In just the past year, the population of southern right whales around South Africa went up by more than 150. Moore says that's a substantial increase. He says it can be expected when whales have food, the opportunity to reproduce, and water that's relatively free from pollution and human activity.
What you're seeing in the southern ocean around the globe with these various populations of southern right whales is nature doing its thing.
Nature does not have as much opportunity to do its thing in the North Atlantic near New England. In those waters, the population of northern right whales stands at only 300, and it has not been going up. The slow-moving right whale is particularly vulnerable to collisions with ships. It also suffers from entanglement with fishing gear. Moore says those problems make it hard to see a future where northern right whales experience the apparent good fortune of their relatives off the coast of South Africa. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Qixi is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan Ji La is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan Ji La.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we're talking with Richard in Raleigh, North Carolina, a little bit about Bill Clinton here. You know, the other thing, too, Richard, NAFTA was signed on Bill Clinton's watch. And,
so he pushed for it.
Right, exactly. And to the extent that NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, has gutted American manufacturing jobs and the economic base in this country, Bill Clinton shares some responsibility. Now, I'm not so naive as to think that he was coming at it from the same way as the extreme right in this country, but Bill Clinton could have asked for a better NAFTA agreement before he signed it, one that respected labor laws, one that respected or established environmental laws, and he did not. And for all the people who think the sun rose in Bill Clinton's left hand and set in his right, I can tell you that I supported him during his presidency on several issues. I also, like I think anybody with half a brain would have done, was very critical of some of his policies. They were just outright Republican policies. Now, a lot of political experts say, well, that was Bill Clinton's genius. He was able to take Republican ideas and spin them into Democratic ideas. Well, to me, that's horse crap. That means you're taking Republican ideas, repackaging them, and they're still Republican ideas. I don't care what it says on the label, it's still Republican ideas. But his on balance, you know, in a lot of areas, I think the Clinton 8 years were good for this country. Also on balance, I think the Clinton 8 years were destructive to this country. So, you know, you pay your money and take your choice. Clinton was a hard man to pin down. You know, unless you are ideologically pure, if you're a Naderite, if you're extreme right winger, then Clinton was very hard to pin down. But to somebody like me, who's been a Democrat all my life, you know, you hear somebody say, I'm a Democrat, and I'll have to admit, you know, 11 years ago when Bill Clinton first came on the scene, 12 years ago, he kind of fooled me. I should have known when during the campaign when he went back to Arkansas to preside over the execution of Ricky Ray Rector, who was mentally retarded, that there was a little bit of, you know, some sleight of hand going on here where it concerned Bill Clinton, the liberal. But and I wasn't paying close enough attention to understand he did not come out of the liberal branch of the Democratic Party. He came out of the DLC. So yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Bill Clinton, in a lot of respects, in my opinion, was a good president, but I put him in the category of the best Republican president this country's ever had. And as far as a liberal Democrat, I'm impatient when people try to tell me that he was a liberal Democrat. He simply was not. Neither is Howard Dean. And neither, for that matter, is anybody else on the Democratic side. And I'm including Carol Moseley Braun, and I'm including Al Sharpton, who have been identified as liberal Democrats. No, they are not. There is one liberal Democrat in this field of nine Democratic candidates, and that's Dennis Kucinich. I don't believe in jerking around language. Let's call these people what they are. Let's clear the air. Howard Dean is a moderate Democrat. Dennis Kucinich is a liberal Democrat. Let's start from the truth, and then we can decide what we want. Right?
Right.
Oh, I just go on and on.
Well, if it wasn't entertaining, I'd cut you off.
Oh, I appreciate that. All right.
Have a good night, buddy.
All right, sir. Thanks. Appreciate it, Richard. God, just stomping all over somebody else's phone call. I sound like that guy in the commercial that IE America put together with you.
That's my show. I'll talk. You ain't going to talk.
But no, I'm my good friend Shelby LePre wrote to me tonight. She said, well, you know, Bill Clinton was a liberal Democrat. You know, I don't like to piss off my friends. I surely don't, especially one that carries my program. But and to all the people who suggest to me or have suggested to you that Bill Clinton was a liberal Democrat, no, he wasn't. He, damn it, he wasn't. Not by definition, not by inclination. I don't think he was inclined to be a liberal Democrat. I don't think he ever presented himself as a liberal. He presented himself as what he was, and that was somebody who was really shifty. And in politics, that's not a pejorative. That's not, you know, name calling by saying somebody is shifty in politics. I think you have to be. Politics is a crappy, filthy business. It is. If Dennis Kucinich were elected president, he'd have to be shifty to survive. That's just the way it goes, folks. In a system like ours,
That's just the way it goes. Given the elements that come into play when we decide our leaders, and that is our corrupt, filthy media, our own stupidity, the complete collapse of some of our strong liberal institutions, like the labor movement, like the in certain aspects, the environmental movement. Yes, indeedy. Even the Sierra Club, a lot of these so-called environmentalist organizations that have sold out in order to get the funding, in order to do this, in order to do that. The labor unions that have sold out certain aspects of what they should be doing in terms of labor. I'm not trying to come up, you know, a disguised critique of the UAW for dumping this network. That's not my point here. I'm talking about labor issues. And it's just to see the institutions in this country that made their reputations as being liberal sliding further and further, they say, to the center. Bull feathers sliding further and further to the right. And once you cross a certain point in that slide to the right, then, in my opinion, I don't care if you call yourself a Democrat, you are not. If you're a candidate for public office, you simply are not. You are something else. And, you know, this breaking into further categories. Well, he's a Democrat. Well, what kind of a Democrat? Well, he's a liberal Democrat. He's a moderate Democrat. He's a conservative Democrat. What the hell is that? To me, that means, well, he's a cop-out, or he's a coward, or he's afraid to take a stand on Democratic Party principles that are the foundation of the Democratic Party. You don't hear anybody saying that about Republicans. What, they say Olympia Snowe is what, and Chafee, that they are, what, moderate Republicans? Or you never hear the term liberal Republican, do you? Is there one or two, maybe? I don't know. If there are, I've not heard of them. But you hear a conservative Democrat. Why don't you ever hear a liberal Republican? Because Republicans are, for the most part, on the same page. And again, don't talk to me about the Northeastern Republicans. They sign on with this corrupt Bush administration every time when the chips are down. You take the list is endless. I don't care if you're talking about my favorite whipping boy right now, Zell Miller, or John Breaux, or so many of these white Southern Democrats, males, are about as Democrat as I'm Republican. So I just think we would all be better served as we go through this process if we stop. And I'm not saying that most of us are not already on have come to this conclusion that the media trying to sell Howard Dean as a liberal Democrat is absurd. It's just beyond absurd. It's further attempt to destroy his candidacy. The ignoring of Dennis Kucinich borders on the criminal. But it's to be expected. Look, folks, this is America 2004. What the hell do any of us still expect? That there will be a fair shake by the political pundits and the chattering classes and the media where it concerns our political system? What do we think? That there will be truth spread out there by CNN and MSNBC and Fox and Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these thugs so that we all can make informed decisions so that we can advance our culture, our society, and our form of government? Who am I kidding? Who are you kidding? That's not where we are. We're in a situation where black is black only if I say it is white only if I say it is, and they're interchangeable. I being media or political pundit or politician. And then somebody comes along like Kucinich, who is a pure Democrat. That's all. He's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. And if people want to debate that, what the hell is the point? Why spend the energy? Dennis Kucinich is a Democrat. Now, if you don't like his position, fine. Fine. There's Howard Dean. There's Clark. There's Gephardt. There's Kerry. But they're not Democrats. They may be politicians, they may be liberal in certain areas, they may be conservative in other areas, they may be a hybridization of Democratic Party ideals and Republican Party corruptness, I don't know. But they are not Democrats. And if you choose to, you know, listen to this tirade that I'm involved in right now and say, you know, he's crazier than hell. I know a Democrat when I say, okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I am not on the internet right this second.
But anyway. I just think we can make a lot more progress, don't you? If we would just be honest and stop jerking each other around here. You know, like Clinton is a liberal Democrat, like Howard Dean is a liberal Democrat. And again, it's the media has have a lot of responsibility in this. The way they paint someone or the way they ignore someone. And it's a shame, but we live in a very corrupted society. We just do. A very corrupted society. For Christ's sake, we have this kind of a political system. On the one hand, on the other hand, we lock people up for smoking marijuana. That's not, and we invade other countries who are no threat to us. And we send 400, 500, 600, 10,000, whatever the number turns out to be, Americans to their death. For what? You see how it works? And an attack on this country that should have been a massive international police action to track down the perpetrators and bring them to justice, the people who organized it, if such an event occurred the way we have been told it occurred to begin with. That's what should have been done. But we live in a corrupted society, mindset, consciousness, dimension, I don't care what you call it. Argue with me. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. And out of that kind of corruption, we can't even be honest enough with ourselves and say, well, look, you know, regardless of what media says, regardless of what government says, candidate A is this, candidate B is that, and candidate C is something else again. Now, let me educate myself and make my decision on whom I want to lead this country. But let's cut the crap. Do you suppose we ever can? No. Neither do I. Okay. Well, that was certainly a little trip into Mike's foggy brain tonight, right? Terry is calling from Petaluma. Oh, it's our bureau chief in Petaluma, California. Hey, Terry.
Yes, I am. I'm proud to be your bureau chief out here in Petaluma, California.
Yes, sir, and I'm proud to have you there.
Mike, I want to give you a little bit of bright light if you want some.
All right. Shoot it this way, pal.
There's a site on the Internet. It's Alexa. They have a site there where they show all the hits on the different major players in the Democratic campaign race here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just looked at the latest. Chart there, and I'm into reading charts these days. I'm into what's called wave theory on the stock market, so I'm looking at charts, and we're looking at pressure built up, and I want to tell you something. You look at that chart. I just sent the URL over to you, and Kucinich just popped after kind of the slump for Christmas. He popped right up to the second place. It's almost like straight up going towards it, right after Clark.
You sent me the URL?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. Would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
And resend it to MikeDMalloy@AOL.com because that's the computer on which I have broadband, and it's a lot easier to operate. This crappy Earthlink that I have here at the studio with this crappy little laptop I have is just horrible. So if you could resend it to MikeDMalloy@AOL.com.
But Dennis is coming on.
He's great.
He can get a lot of hits.
Great. Well, that sounds good.
Stick in there, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Terry. I appreciate you checking in, pal. You have a nice evening. Well, we didn't get to the mad cow thing tonight, did we? Moo. Moo. We also didn't get to the Bush drug proposal enrages veterans, Houston Chronicle. You veterans who depend on the little scraps and crumbs that are tossed to you by the Veterans Administration, boy, do you have a surprise coming for you if you take prescription medicine. A generic prescription filled by mail through TRICARE, which is the military's health insurance program, if Bush has his way, is going to go from $3 to $10. How about that, huh? 300% increase. Oh, there's just a whole bunch more. Maybe we can get to this tomorrow night. I don't know. I don't know. God, I wish the military, active and retired, would come out of the fog about George W. Bush and the Republican Party. Bush particularly, Republican Party in general. A political a political organization, the Republican Party, that has zero respect for whatever military traditions are still intact in this country, whatever haven't been corrupted by the misuse of the United States military by both Democratic and Republican administrations since the end of World War II. And those abuses and misuses of our military might and our young men, and it has been young men up until recently, okay, our young men and women, those abuses have been just horrendous. But I just wish, and Democrats and Republicans have done it, but I wish the military mindset could come out of Republican good, Democrat bad, and realize that in the case of the Bush administration, the Bush administration, is the most dangerous organization that the United States military could ever align itself with. Witness what has happened since the attack on Afghanistan and Iraq. Quick break. We'll be right back.
To be a focused coalition effort in the region against peace.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
4 and a half before the hour. John, we have not very much time at all here, a little over a minute. John is calling from Lucerne, California. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Going fine, sir.
Real briefly, I'm a business owner, a taxpayer, and an employer out here in California, small business. I just want to tell you I love your show.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate the humor you're injecting into this.
Well,
horrible
thanks.
Travesty.
I'm just going to say thank you. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Just very briefly, Bush in 30 Seconds has .org has the 15 finalists on, and I know you covered it, and I guess not a lot of people want to talk about it, but the best one that I've seen is My Country.
My Country?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take a look at some of these tonight when I get home. Like I said, I've got a computer with broadband at home, and several people sent me links to MoveOn.org to the 15 finalists, I believe. Is that right?
They're 15 finalists, and they'll be sent off to people like Janine Garofalo and Mike Moore and those kind of folks.
Right. Well, I can't wait to see them because
you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Man. It's great, great stuff. There's some very funny ones, and my personal pick, of course, is My Country.
My Country. I'll check that one out tonight.
In aside of that, I also build the website for the Democratic Central Committee out here, and I'll be adding a link to your stream.
Well, thank you.
To that site.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Well, you'll be joining Randy Rhodes on it.
That's great.
And a couple of others as I dig them up.
Yeah, that's more truth to that than I would like to agree to. But you do.
Well, I got
to
tell you, man, I'm an educated guy. I've got a degree in degree in communications.
Yeah.
Didn't know about you. Found you. Arguing about some freebers on Democratic Underground, somebody had posted a link to a montage that you had produced with Bush quotes.
Yeah.
And I laughed and laughed and laughed and then realized it was a link to a website. So I looked it up, and sure enough, there you are.
There we are. Yeah, we're kind of the Dennis Kucinich of talk radio. we don't get any coverage or any respect.
He's a good guy, too, you know?
Hey, John, we are flat out of time. I hope you're going to call again. I know this is your first time calling. Do check in with us during a subsequent program, because we got a boogie now, okay?
Michael, do my best. Keep the good work up.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Steve Damshorter, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check out his editions in the gallery. Go to MikeMalloy.com, click on the gallery. And our music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas. Senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Thank you all. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked.